is the UR Business Network.
Welcome to Making Headway on the URB Business Network. This is your host, John King, president of Headway Strategies Consulting, based here in the Boston area, bringing you today's show. Making Headway provides entrepreneurs, executives, managers with information about emerging or current topics that could have a significant impact on their business. At the conclusion of the show, a blog will be posted which contains a summary of the show as well as the contact information for the host and subject matter experts in the event that there are follow-up questions from the listeners. Today's topic is customer loyalty. This topic should be of interest to all businesses and organizations who want to maximize their customer satisfaction and loyalty for continued business sustainability. Jerry Quinn is our guest today. She's joining us by phone from New York City. And Jerry is president of her company, Driving Improved Results, a recognized speaker, author, coach, and consultant, and professional development expert focused on small and mid-sized businesses. Jerry now is the author of a recent book, The Customer Loyalty Playbook, 12 Game Strategies to Drive Improved Results for Your Business. Welcome, Jerry.
Oh, John, thank you so much for inviting me to be on your show. This is really an honor and a privilege, and I love talking about this subject, and I love talking about it with listeners who are also interested because, their businesses they want to take them from surviving to thriving, and that's what customer loyalty does.
Okay. Well, we're glad to have you because I think this is a pretty important topic, and I'll share some of my experiences with you as we get going here. Our producer today is Lauren Culp, and Lauren's going to keep us on track and keep things going here. So, Jerry, probably a good question to start for the listeners is, what started you down the path to write a book on customer loyalty issues and solutions?
Well, as customers, we all deserve the best and in terms of customer service, and we don't always get the best. And that's from the consumer side. But when you look at businesses, I'm really dedicated to small businesses making an impact and having sustainable growth. There's so many businesses that fail. I think the demographics that get quoted differently, but at least 50% in the first few years of small businesses fail, which is a real shame because each small business has a business owner who really, really wants more. And so I look at customer loyalty as the way to drive business growth and success. And there are 9 reasons why I think so. First of all, that loyal customers generate profit. You know, whenever you buy something from a business, there's a whole lot of acquisition costs that goes into that business acquiring that customer. And for the first sale, they may only cover their customer acquisition costs. They may not make any profit on that first sale. So they're looking for a second and third sale in order to drive some profit. And if it's only a one-and-done sale, then you really haven't made much progress. Loyal customers buy more. It's shown over and over in anybody who's creating stats that when a customer is loyal, they buy more. Customers give referrals, and that's really a low-cost way of customer acquisition. Loyal customers are not as price sensitive. If a customer is loyal and to the point where they really have a good connection with you, they know that they're buying the experience and they know they're probably not paying bottom dollar. They want the experience that they're getting and so they're willing to pay a little bit more for it. Loyal customers help you build your business and make it thrive by paying on time. And that really helps your cash flow. What if you had so many loyal customers that money came in on a regular basis and you didn't have to make collection calls, and you didn't have to do all those things that hold you back in terms of collecting money. Okay, loyal customers interact with engaged staff, and that generates an upward value spiral. So just imagine, your loyal customers are buying from staff who really care about them, and that makes the staff feel really good. And so the staff stay longer, and then the staff attract more clients. And those clients become loyal, and they have relationships with the staff. It makes those staff stay longer. So it really becomes an upward value spiral of retaining customers and retaining staff and driving down costs. And that really gives you competitive advantage. So all your competitors would really, really love to have what you have, but you're going up. Meanwhile, you're stealing market share from them, and it's hard for them to recover and to take market share back because everybody's being attracted to you. Okay. Loyal customers lead to reduced servicing costs. So part of the cost of getting any customer started is the time to set them up in your system and delivery. And if you have a customer service evaluation system and payment plan and all those things, once you get them set up, then they're a lot less costly to service. And then lastly, loyal customers are so much more forgiving. Mistakes happen. Occasionally you'll screw up. But a loyal customer will really tell you about it and give you a chance to figure it out, and they want to see you succeed. And then when you come up with a fix that's really good, then it gives them even more to rave about. So those are the 9 reasons, just detail them in the beginning part of my book, why customer loyalty really drives business growth.
Well, that's a very holistic approach, because back in the 90s, or mid-90s, I guess, I worked with a supermarket chain to develop a customer loyalty program, and we focused on more buying patterns because we were looking at trying to segregate customers into deciles of you know, where they were buying and what they were buying. We provided rewards for them and all that, which was kind of the early things that they did back at that point. But you're more holistic. I mean, you're looking at the entire organization. I think that's a much broader perspective than what my experience was back at that point in time. What about in your
book?
Go ahead.
So just to let you know, those kind of programs, a customer loyalty program is just a program. But what I'm talking about is infrastructure related. It's how you build your company to give customer loyalty from the inside out, because loyal employees generate loyal customers.
That's right. Yeah, I was with a retail chain here in Boston for a while, and it was you may have heard of as Filene's Basement, but I mean that group was incredibly loyal customers and incredibly loyal employees that worked to probably solve all the issues a customer may have in the course of doing business with them. So let's go back to your book, because you talk about your book has 12 plays, and but you've identified 4 areas which have a greater impact on customer loyalty. Can you give us an overview of those 4 areas that you identified?
Yeah. So it's set up like a playbook, you know, like a football playbook, where there are 12 diagrams, and each diagram has some text around it, so it gives it some perspective, and then a case study and some questions then to go back to your team and ask those questions so that you can take that play out of the playbook and modify it for your own business, and your team is input into that, so it's much more implementable, easier to execute because they have buy-in. But the 4 areas that the book is divided into, these 3 plays per section, one is great leadership. So leadership is visionary. Leadership sets the tone. Leadership creates the culture. And leaders who are doing a great job really feel responsibility for their culture and do things to create a culture that includes all the variables that create employee loyalty and customer loyalty. And the second section is about engaging employees. You know, how do you spot those employees who are really moving forward in terms of their commitment as well as their competence? And how do you develop them? And how do you develop them as individual people with their own visions and values, and then align them to the firm so that the whole organization moves forward in one direction rather than a lot of people moving a lot of different directions? And then how do you get people to take risks? Get out of their comfort zone, do something more than they did before, which helps them grow and expand, and then they get so proud of themselves and they realize that they've done that within the context of your company, and it makes them even more loyal as well as more productive. And so engaged employees have a really high level of productivity. Everybody certainly wants that in their business. The third section is about customer experience. So the customer is on a journey from beginning of the interactions with you to the end of the interactions with you and your company. And so what can we do to enhance that? How can we look at really engineering that experience by looking at operationally what that customer experience is, and then from an experiential point of view, what does the customer experience? Are they happy? Do they get eye contact? Do they hear their names? Do they experience smiles and compliments? And do they really get that sense that somebody cares? And then how do you create wow moments where it's just over the top? And then what anticipated service defects might come into play? And then how do you create and anticipate service recovery? So when something does happen, you know exactly what to do. And all your staff does too, and they get trained in doing that. And the fourth area is marketing. You could try to sell to the whole world, but when you do that, you are really cutting off your nose to spite your face. You're better off focusing on a particular niche and then really getting into the needs and solutions required by that niche. And then those customers are the ones that are most likely to become loyal because you're meeting their needs directly. And so there's a marketing effort that goes into developing a loyal customer base and developing that niche whose needs are really being met. And those are the four sections of the book.
Okay. So taking that and just go back and redefine the difference between a loyal customer and a regular customer again.
Yeah, I have a great story about that. So suppose you're living in a fairly urban environment and you go to a dry cleaner. It's on your block and you take your stuff to the dry cleaner and dry cleaner charges you a reasonable amount and does a pretty good job. And you're fairly happy about that. But then another dry cleaner moves in on the next block. And this dry cleaner really uses organic products to do any dry cleaning. And you say, that's one of my values. I really want to promote environmental sustainability. So I'm going to use that dry cleaner instead, even though it's slightly more and it's a little more inconvenient because I have to walk a little further. So you may have been a regular customer with the first one, but you're a more committed regular customer to the second one. But then another dry cleaner moves into town, which is even, maybe two blocks further away. And they do use organic products. But every time you go there, they make you feel like it's a party and you're the most welcome guest of all. It's like Cheers all over again, that TV show. And they introduce you to other people in the neighborhood, and they come out from behind the counters, and they recognize you, and they know your name. And you always are made to feel so special when you go in there. They always recognize you as an individual. And so where you might have been a regular customer just because of convenience at the first dry cleaner, but the third dry cleaner, you're a really loyal customer who really wants to see that business thrive, and you feel special there, and you really care that they care about you. And that's the difference, because the loyal customer really cares.
So that
they know they're being cared about.
That gets to be a relationship issue, the relationship that the employees develop with the customer in support of the other services that are provided by that organization.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can elaborate. You picked on dry cleaners, and I'll mention the same group of individuals. We have two dry cleaners in our small town, and one of them, my son was involved in helping him through a very, very difficult medical situation. And so we go into that store, and we're introduced as the parents of the boy that saved my life. So we always walk in there feeling kind of special when we go in there. And so even though he may have some quirks, but he does stand by what he does and does help us out. So I think it's about the relationship you develop. That's one of the things I think that's challenging with the self-checkout lanes in some of the big box stores, that you've lost that customer employee touch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally get that. The big thing is that whatever, the relationship the employees are going to have with the customers is the same relationship that leadership is going to have with the employees. So if you've got a CEO or an executive team and they try to be standoffish with the employees, then that's what they're going to get. They're going to get the employees being standoffish with the customers. And so it's important that leadership treat the employees just like the employees want the employees to treat the customers.
Okay. What about internet and online marketing? How's that affected customer loyalty? Because when you're ordering over the internet, you don't talk to an employee necessarily. You may have start a chat with them if that's you got a question on a product. But for the most part, you're just clicking and pointing and turning in your credit card amount and get something shipped to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it certainly is a challenge. But there are other ways of building customer loyalty in there. First of all, the way the text on the website is, if it's all about the product and not about the potential customer, then that's a turnoff. So, you know, those websites should be all about the customer and the customer needs and what the customer might be thinking, experiencing, and what the customer might have as an objection. And, you know, what is the thing to overcome that objection from the customer's point of view. Secondly, when the product is shipped, there are a lot of things that you can do to include. For instance, I know a company who includes Tootsie Rolls, and they put them right in with the shipment, and then they ask questions to be interactive, like, what kind of Tootsie Rolls would you like in the future? Because now they have different flavors of Tootsie Rolls, so they make different flavors available, and they try to customize what the way they ship to a customer so that the customer feels that they want to buy more from this company. And sometimes there'll be an after-the-shipment call. So I have another client who sells dresses, retro dresses, for people going to 50s parties or putting on Grease productions or whatever. And every time it is an online business, but every time they ship out a product that was just bought from a product catalog, they call and say, how is it that I can, do you like your product? And then how is it that I can support you? So a lot of times there are events, and what they do is they offer to do some social media around the event for the client's event. And so there's lots of different things. If you're really tuned into your customer and your customer's needs and where they are and how they think, that you can do for a customer that makes them feel special and makes them feel that you really care about them. And that's what's important.
Okay. And let's go back to your book to kind of wrap up here. And what type of tools or processes are in the book that a reader could use to help them with the implementation of these concepts?
Yeah, so some of those diagrams are charts, like the chart that takes a business through the whole buying cycle of a customer, the customer journey, and they look at every point of connection and say, what are the operational standards here? What are the experiential standards here? What are the wow moments you can create? What are the service defects, and what are the service recoveries? And so there are charts around that. There are matrices about where you could write in your employees' names about how competent and how committed they are, and in your coaching of these employees, where you're going to move them to move them forward, or if they don't necessarily look like they're going to move forward, is it better to get rid of them now and replace them with someone else who can more fully align into your culture? So there are tools and matrices, and any time you do something visual, I mean, we all learn visually 80% of the time. And so sometimes you just see a diagram and it clicks better. There are other tools, too, like the suggestion is that you can have an empty seat at any table, at the table or at any meeting you have. And you create a customer profile and you give a name to that customer profile. So say the customer profile you have of their top five clients that you kind of merged into one fictitious person is named Chris. And you give Chris a seat at the table of any of your meetings. And then as you're going through all your agenda, you say, well, how does Chris feel about that? What's the impact on Chris? What's the impact on Chris with his own customers? And you can identify how to stay customer focused by having the customer attend each of your meetings.
Okay. So is this something they can do by themselves, or is this something that they need someone from the outside to give them a hand?
That's a good question. What happens is people get excited and they say, okay, I want to do this. I could do this on my own. It's not rocket science. I could do this. And they do it once, and then a long time elapses, and they do it again, and then it kind of falls off, and their environment of get things done and do things quickly and lots of interruptions kind of takes over, and all these other ideas that are maybe not as urgent but very important for making the growth changes you want to make kind of fall by the wayside.
Yeah.
And that's why it's great to have a coach or consultant to keep moving you forward, even though it might fall off your radar, because you have somebody to hold you accountable.
Well, especially with a smaller organization that doesn't have the resources to apply it to those things on a regular basis, I think that's important as well. We're just about wrapped out of time, and I wanted to ask you quickly, are there any concepts with customer loyalty that you see evolving over the next 5 years?
Yeah, so I think with lots of people looking to start businesses and lots of people who are in different countries becoming more international in scope, there's a lot of competition. So how do you differentiate your business from somebody else in the same space? And people can reverse engineer different intellectual property, and they can duplicate products, and sometimes they can duplicate services. But what they can't duplicate is your customer service and your customer loyalty and the culture of your company that generates that. And so that becomes your unique selling proposition or your differentiator, is that your whole way of doing business that generates customer loyalty, if you really work on that, and really develop your culture and develop your employees' capabilities along those lines, then what you've done is really differentiated your business from all the other players in the market.
I would agree with you. You can really generate customer competitive
advantage.
I would agree with you, Jerry, in terms of the culture being extremely important as you go forth. So unfortunately, this has been a great – not unfortunately. Fortunately, this has been a great discussion. Unfortunately, we're about out of time. But I want to thank you for for joining the show today. And are there any other thoughts you want to convey to our listening audience?
Sure. I have a website about my book. It's called CustomerLoyaltyPlaybook.com. And on the website, you will be able to download for free, the first chapter of my book. And first chapter does a variety of things, but it does include those 9 reasons why customer loyalty really drives your business growth. So if anybody wants to review them, plus get an introduction to the rest of the book, go to my website, CustomerLoyaltyPlaybook.com, and download the first chapter. Then you get an inkling of it. And then it is available on Amazon as an ebook and also as a paperback. And I encourage you to do that if you're interested in driving improved results in your business.
I will, for the listeners, I'll put that in the blog so you actually have the link to it as we go forward with it. And Jerry, I really appreciate joining the show today to talk about customer loyalty. And anybody that buys your book, it's available on Amazon, as I understand. But they won't get what I got when I got the book, because I got an autographed copy. So I appreciate that. Jerry, your email is jerry@drivingimprovedresults.com. That's the best way to get you.
Yes, and it's in driving improved with an ED and results with an S.
Okay. And again, that'll be in the blog. So we're out of time today. I'd like to thank Lauren again for keeping us on track and producing this for us. I can be reached at jking@headway-strategies.com. And I have a Twitter account now, which is jkinghsc as well. If you have thoughts about other topics you'd like to hear, please please send me a note, and we'll work to put them on the show. But this is about trying to help you make headway. So this is John King on the URB Business Network, reminding you to listen to Making Headway, because remember, we can help you make headway.
The UR Business Network. We mean business.